It is an exaggeration, but sometimes it feels as if every time I click on one of the news websites or listen to a radio news bulletin, I hear about another fight on a school premise or outside of a school on the way, you know, within the immediate vicinity of the school, and often involves knives. Thank goodness guns are not yet part of this particular equation, but fists and knives and cell phones are very much part of this equation. Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga saying the bleedingly obvious, that she's deeply concerned with the high levels of violence reported in schools. Far too often, these incidents result in death or very, very serious injury. Arina Smit is a social worker and training manager at the NICRO organization. Arina, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, John.
It's kind of trite to say, to ask the question why, because South Africa is a violent country and there is no part of our society which is immune from that violence. So the fact that school children are violent towards each other is part of the general violence of South Africa. But are there any sort of playground, school premise issues that are specific to that place?
Well, John, I think the main issue that we see violence emerging at school level is, you know, I think we need to look at structural issues and systemic issues. You know, we find that a lot of children that becomes aggressive or that shows the aggression once they go to school are potentially children that has been missed quite early in life. You know, we can pick up on children and behavioral problems quite early already, but very often that is being ignored, you know, just being seen as a child being just generally naughty. And people generally are not very observant in terms of identifying when children are actually starting to struggle emotionally. So we then see this the moment children start socializing with other children, you know, this is how they start dealing with conflict and differences, and then it becomes this problem.
We are decades away from having the kind of early warning system in place that would allow these at-risk children to be diverted into programs that would minimize the risk of them getting involved in violence.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the big things, if we look at our systems, first and foremost, you know, our child protection system, if children shows early onset behaviors, generally prior to the age of 9, because this is where we realize there's a problem and this could actually escalate into more serious behavior as the child gets older. You know, these things are not focused on. I think our child protection system is saturated. You know, it's focusing on such a lot of things in terms of child protection that we don't actually pick up these children very early and therefore cannot actually get to the parents as well as the children very early, because that is often the big problem. It's not about the child being dealt with in isolation, but with the whole system in which the child grows up.
When you say we don't pick up, who's included in that we? I mean, many of these children, this is a generalization, I accept that, but many of these children come from homes with either physically absent parents or parents who are not particularly involved with parenting, or single parent, you know, child-headed households, grandmother-headed households. Teachers have such an extraordinary burden on them anyway to turn each and every teacher into a social worker is also asking too much. So who's included in that we who are not picking up these signs?
Yes, I think we is society at large and broadly. You know, if we have neighbors and we are aware of these things that are happening with children, parents that are either working too much because they need to put food on the table, or parents that are working too much because they want to make money and they want to live the high life, you know, and you see your children being alone. And that's the other thing, you know, when we look at these children, it's not necessarily only children coming from necessarily only impoverished backgrounds, but it can also be children coming from very good families where there is a lot of resources, but the emotional connection, the emotional support, the emotional sort of like learning in terms of how to deal with violence and or how to deal with conflict hasn't been transferred to these children in a manner that makes sense to them at that age. So it's definitely everybody. It's society broadly, it's neighbors, it's friends, it's families, you know. And definitely teachers cannot be social workers. And, you know, everybody needs to play their role at that point in time and do what they're supposed to do. And I think wanting to transfer everything onto everybody else is also where a problem is. You know, that we cannot expect, for example, parents or teachers to discipline children and do the things that parents are supposed to do in the family. And I think that is one thing systemically that we also need to address, that we need to teach parents and people responsibility and not move responsibility onto other people all the time.
These sound like massively difficult and time-consuming interventions.
They definitely are. I think the main thing is, you know, this is not an easy fix, because we look at the fabric of society, which we look at the building blocks of society, which is the family, you know, which is if you have a child before you are ready to have a child, if you have a child because of the wrong reasons, you know, if you do not understand the responsibilities that having a child will bring to you and what you have to give up as an individual, you know, so we're looking at things like preparing individuals of what does it mean to be a parent, not just money-wise or having a house and having resources, but also emotionally and psychologically, you know, then supporting parents to understand ways of disciplining that builds a child and not breaks a child down, but still provides discipline. So it's resource intensive, because it is about, you know, the emotional development and the psychological aspects that one needs to help people to sort of like get a grip on, and not just things like, oh, let's, you know, do life skills or do this or do that. It is definitely extensive, and it needs to start quite early. It's not about at the time when a person is already acting in a manner that is potentially putting them, you know, in conflict with the law already.
To what extent might cell phones and the video cameras on cell phones play an accelerative role here? Because the vast majority of these incidents are recorded, yep, by people who are not intervening, because for whatever reason they choose, yep, to record and then distribute rather than intervene to, yep, bring something to a close or to prevent something from happening. And sometimes, particularly in the less seriously violent cases, there seems to be a kind of egging on effect, that the presence of the video phone cameras, that people are kind of almost looking for their 15 seconds of social media fame by getting involved in a school ground brawl.
Absolutely. I think, you know, access to technology, as much as it has its pros, I think with children, you know, if we think about children, we know they have a lot of energy. There's a lot. They need to pursue creativity. They need to be out there. They need to be busy developing their bodies in terms of being in activities, in terms of, you know, spending times with friends, socializing. But yet the technology becomes that medium for them, and there's no the one-on-one interactions anymore. So what we've realized is that technology takes away a lot of the personal and a lot of the empathy development from children, because I actually don't necessarily have to interact with you on that personal level. So yes, we're working with children. They want to have attention. They think that they don't understand yet the severe consequences of this on themselves or on the victim that they're busy recording. And at the end of the day, you know, in their minds, it's about the glamour and the attention and how many watches I'm going to have or how many likes I'm going to get, and not at all understanding the bigger picture. So I do think it plays a big role, and how, you know, that needs to be, in a sense, managed as well by parents.
It took a little while longer than I thought it would, but it is now starting to happen, that people are saying what we need to do essentially. I mean, they're phrasing it in different ways, but essentially their argument is that we need to bring back corporal punishment, that only by restoring corporal punishment, only by restoring the ability of the teacher or the head of a particular school to smack a child with a cane on the hand or on the bum, that's the only way we're going to get sort of self-sustaining discipline back into school and back into life. What would your response be to that?
I don't think corporal punishment itself would necessarily be the answer. I think for me, the discipline is more about the consistency of how any type of disciplinary measure is actually implemented. I also think the whole thing with regards to, you know, that the consequences actually needs to be significant in that sense. So for me, the corporal punishment, because that can go a total different way again, you know, it's about, I think at the end of the day, it's really about the consistency of these things and how it's applied from the one to the other. Very often we find that there's, you know, there's variations in which these things are, depending on whether it's out on in the media or not, that with which it is then applied. So if it's in the media, it will get more attention. If it is not, then it gets less attention. So at the end of the day, the children learn that, you know, I can actually manipulate these things, and maybe I will get away with it and maybe I won't. So they're taking those chances because that is who they are. That is how their brains are developed at that point in time, and they are risk takers. So I don't think corporal punishment is necessarily the answer. It is about supporting with other ways in becoming much more consistent with regards to discipline.
Arena Smith, thank you, social worker and training manager at NICRO.